Well, I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 14. We're going to be there in a moment. We're going to take a break this week from our series in John, and we'll pick back up here in the weeks to come. But today we'll be in Luke chapter 14. Thanksgiving is coming up. I mentioned last week that people who skip Thanksgiving are wrong. They go straight to the Christmas. I'd like to say I don't mind if you get into the Christmas spirit before Thanksgiving happens. Just don't skip over Thanksgiving, okay? If you do that, you'll get the judgment, the stink eye from me, because I know that matters to so many of you, what I think. I'm just messing with you. There's something about Thanksgiving, though. We like what we like, don't we? We probably all have our favorite dishes to enjoy during the Thanksgiving week, during the weekend when we gather with people, and many of us, we gather around a table and we enjoy good food. And so maybe in your family there's traditions, there's different side dishes that somebody always brings and you really, really enjoy those, or maybe you don't enjoy them, okay? So I mean, this is gonna try to figure out what maybe is the most popular side dish in the room. Okay, we're not gonna count turkey, because that's not really a side dish, or ham or any other main entree. Stuffing is the counterpart, okay, or the dressing, right, and gravy, right? So those things are all, that's all part of the main package there. So we're going with other dishes, okay? So how many of you say it's not Thanksgiving without this? This is my favorite side dish, mashed potatoes with the gravy, okay? We got a few. What about green bean casserole, okay? Yeah. By the way, if you hate green bean casserole, raise your hand. Okay, that's a few represented as well. For decades, literally decades, I scraped the French fried onions off the top and just ate the green beans with the soup mixture. And then one day I accidentally got a crunchy French fried onion and I thought, this is amazing. What was I doing all of those years? I just missed out on something because I didn't even want to try it. What about cranberry sauce? It's not Thanksgiving without the cranberry sauce. Okay, are we talking about real cranberries made into some sort of topping? Raise your hand if that's. Are you talking about like the jelly in the can? Okay, some of you are like, it's not Thanksgiving without the jelly in the can. Okay, how about this? Some sort of Jell-O salad. Anybody have a Jell-O salad represented on your Thanksgiving table? It's funny, you don't normally think of Jell-O and salad. And I mean, that's something that accidentally happens if you spill your tray at Luby's cafeteria or something, right? Your Jell-O and your salad fall together. I guess that's how it happened. One day somebody just fell and the Jell-O and the salad got mixed together and they just ate a bite and there was some of both and they thought, well, that's pretty good. I guess I'll make a Jell-O salad at Thanksgiving next year. Well, here are some unconventional Thanksgiving foods, okay? This first one I found, this is turkey cake, all right? Apparently, turkey cake is a thing. It looks like layers of stuffing and turkey and gravy, and I don't know what else. It looks like marshmallows, yams, and sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top. How many of you say, I'm in for turkey cake? Give me a slice, I'll try it out. Okay, how many of you, your response is, oh, I know exactly what to do with that, and you walk it over to the trash can? How many of you, okay, yes. All right, well, turkey cake, I don't know, that might not be for you. Here's one, Thanksgiving sushi. Thanksgiving sushi. Again, I guess you get all the Thanksgiving meal ingredients and you just roll them into a sushi roll and it might work for some people. This is my favorite though. I found this week. This is the year on this implies that this happens every year. Jones Soda puts out a limited edition holiday pack of special holiday themed soda drinks, and this is the 2004 limited edition Jones Soda holiday pack. You might not be able to read the flavors there on the bottles. The flavors in the 2004 limited edition holiday pack are turkey and gravy soda, mashed potatoes and butter soda, green bean casserole soda, cranberry sauce soda, that one might not be too bad, and fruitcake soda, which fruitcake is always wrong, okay? So, well, I know that we all have different traditions and we all have different scenarios in our life, but most people in some way or another will gather around a table next on Thanksgiving Day, next Thursday, a week from Thursday. And although each meal will be different in size and style, many tables will hold a special feast. We'll celebrate, and although sometimes, many times, holidays can be difficult, there are also occasions for great joy. And I think that's why God, several times in Scripture, compares the kingdom of God, his kingdom, to a feast. God says that his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, which is how the world would be if God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven, that kingdom is like a feast, a great banquet, a party, a table. And so we're going to read this morning a story that Jesus tells about one of these feasts. He's at a home of some very important people, and he notices how they're all jockeying for position to have the most important and prominent place in the room. And so he talks about the kind of seats that you should look for when you're at an occasion like that. Don't look for the most important seat. There's something about the kingdom of God and a dinner party and the politics of who sits where and who's invited and who's most important and who's honored and who's not, that Jesus says gives us insight into the kingdom. And then he says this, it says this in Luke chapter 14, verse 15 through 24. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" It's a troubling story. There are several others like it that Jesus tells. And if you go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation in chapter 19, it says, "See, now the wedding feast of the Lamb is here. Let those who come who are thirsty drink, and those who are hungry eat." Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a table, to a feast. And that got me thinking about the different kinds of places you can eat, different kinds of tables, different gatherings where people have food together, different settings for meals. And then that got me thinking about how we would answer this question. Here at the South Baton Rouge Church of Christ, as a family of believers, as brothers and sisters, if our church is pursuing the kingdom of God on earth, if we're trying to be part of what God is doing in the world, and we want to be a kingdom church, and if the kingdom is like a feast, then what kind of meal best describes this church? There are several options, several meal metaphors that we might choose So I want to go through some options and see which of these might sound appealing and see if anything may feel or sound familiar. Some people want a fast food church. That's the kind of experience that they're looking for. Maybe not here, but maybe someone else that you know who goes to a different church you listen to the things that they say and you conclude that maybe it's all about convenience and low cost for them. Really, that's what fast food is about, right? You kind of want to swoop in and not pay very much, not really pay a very high cost, low commitment, and kind of get your food, get your thing, and just pop in and enjoy and then head back out. Maybe a drive-through communion window. Have you ever thought about that? Is that the kind of thing that you're looking for? Now listen, if I've just described you and maybe that stings a little bit, it's not meant to be critical. Maybe you're just now kind of poking your head behind the church curtain a little bit and you're just now looking at being involved in a church and maybe you haven't been around this Christianity thing very long and you hear that and you think, well, that hurts a little bit. I don't really know what I'm doing and I would love to be more involved if I knew what that looked like, and that's fine. And I would just tell you, keep leaning in. Keep leaning in. Is that the kind of church that we are here? Are we a fast food table? Another option that we might look at is a buffet, an all-you-can-eat buffet. How many of you like a buffet? I love a good buffet. I want to pick and choose what I want. Give me plenty of options. I want a church that has a great youth ministry that will cater to every single possible taste in my life. I'm looking for a church with a coffee shop and an outreach to a neighborhood school and somewhere where I can utilize my unique gift of playing the bagpipes in the worship band. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a church for people between the age of 38 and a half and 40 who really, really like fantasy epic and science fiction movies to sit around and drink coffee and also maybe talk about how they like to play bass guitar and do some other things. And that's what I want my church to be about. And you could go and you could find a church that probably has that exact ministry. I don't know where. If you find out, let me know, because I was just kind of describing myself a little bit. Buffet church can be appealing. I pick and choose what I want to do, what I want to be involved with, and what I don't want to be involved with. I get to pick and choose who I want to be involved with and who I don't want to be involved with. And the question is that what a church is called to be? Is South that kind of church? Maybe you're a five-star restaurant kind of person. Or if there's more stars than that, if there's a six-star, whatever the highest number of stars is. It's all about presentation and quality. Impress me. I want everyone who knows me to know that I only go for the finest things in life. I go to the best church with the best preaching, obviously, and the best worship. Only the finest things for me. Lots of churches are chasing that kind of thing. Is that wrong? Is that what we are about here at South? Or some churches, in response to that, in an attempt to show that they aren't wrapped up in the impression game, go for the opposite end of the spectrum, and they like diner church. You got your five-star glitz and glam church where maybe the people look like celebrities. Maybe they are celebrities. And then you've got diner church. Forget about presentation and quality and even cleanliness. The diner is all about greasy goodness. It has an attitude. You know what? We're about one thing here. We're always open, and that's about it. If you're looking for atmosphere or excellence or good food, then go somewhere else and don't let the door hit you on the way out. We pride ourselves in our unnutritious menu and in being unimpressive. We're just really down to earth around here. Is that something to strive for? Should a church that's trying to foster health settle for mediocrity and the things that it does. Here's the thing. We all know churches like the ones that I've just described. And if you're wondering if I secretly think that South is any of those, I don't. I think that every church has probably a mixture of these attitudes, both in the people and in how, what the church represents and how it does things. This isn't about picking on any church or any person. Most churches are doing their best to embody the kingdom feast. And I think we are doing our best as well. Maybe this next one, though, sounds a little better. It's not a five-star restaurant. It's not a buffet. It's not a diner. It's not fast food. It's home. Home. Home feels nice. I'm known at home. I'm comfortable at home. The food is prepared the way that I enjoy and the way that I like it. These are my people, my family at my home. Many churches want to feel just like home. And there's mostly nothing wrong with that. But there's a problem with home, and that problem is that the church, I believe as Jesus envisioned it, was never intended to just feel like home or to be comfortable, as good as that may sound and feel. The church instead was meant, it was called, it exists to live out the mission of God, the kingdom of God in the world. And so I thought about a different kind of way to experience a meal. This summer, Beth and I took a trip to Canada, and we were in the city of Vancouver for a few days, and we found out about a food truck tour of Vancouver. We tried to buy tickets, and they were all sold out, so we did what any good person would do. We pulled out our phones. We looked up online all the different food trucks the tour goes to, and then we went to those on our own without having to buy the ticket. It was great. And we went around to these different food trucks, and we had just the most incredible and delicious food. And you come up to some of these trucks, and you look at it, and it's not impressive. It's not a pretty vehicle. You think, how did this pass health inspection? But you give them your money, you ask for the thing you read about online, and they hand you this food, and you stand out there on the sidewalk with dozens or maybe even hundreds of other people, and with the food in your mouth, this is so good. You just talk about how amazing the food is, and then you realize this is really a cool experience. Here we are in the middle of this city with all of these weird people all around us, but we're all enjoying this incredible food. A food truck is mobile. It can go where people are. It's versatile. It can prepare what's needed in the moment. On one day, it could be used to sell its product and to make a profit. On other days, it could be used to be helpful to people. What if the church were more like a food truck in how it offers and partakes of the feast of the kingdom of God? What if we have church mostly backwards? What if the feast isn't primarily about what happens in here for an hour each week? But what if the point of all of this is to better prepare ourselves to follow the one who goes out there to be good news? What if the point of all of this is not just to enjoy and to be lifted up, although we do want that to be true. We want to be lifted up, we want to be encouraged, we want to be challenged. But it all has a point, it all has a direction. And the direction, Scripture seems to say, isn't pointing in here, it's pointing out there. What if we're called to go where people are and to be salt, to bring flavor and life, to be God's feast in the world. What if the mission of God isn't about building a church? What if the point of the church is to enter into and to embrace the kingdom of God and to join his mission? In 2017, Sarah Cummins was due to marry her fiance at the Ritz reception venue in Carmel, Indiana, just north of Indianapolis. And the week before, she and her fiance chose to call off their $30,000 wedding, but found that they were unable to get a refund for the cost of the reception dinner for their 170 guests. Sarah says, "It was really devastating. I called everyone, I canceled, I apologized, I cried, I called vendors, I begged some more, and then I started feeling really sick about just throwing away all that food that I had ordered for the reception. So instead of throwing it all out, Sarah decided, instead of throwing the food out or inviting friends and coworkers to come eat a nice meal, she decided instead to throw a banquet for 170 homeless people in the area. She arranged for buses to pick them up from shelters all over the area and to bring them to the venue. The menu still featured wedding cake, as well as bourbon glazed meatballs, goat cheese and roasted garlic bruschetta, and chicken breast with artichokes and Chardonnay cream sauce. She said, "I will at least have some kind of happy memory to pull from. I wanted to make sure that it would be the perfect wedding. And for me, this was now an opportunity to let these people know that they deserve to be at a place like this just as much as everyone else does." Several local businesses and residents donated suits and dresses and other items for their guests to wear. One guest, Charlie Allen, who spent 3 months at a homeless mission, received a donated jacket. He said, "I don't have a sport coat." And as he tugged on the lapel, he said, I think I look pretty good in it." The kingdom of God is like a feast, a wedding banquet prepared. And when the guests who were invited didn't show up, the feast was given instead to the poor. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. So, a question for us, my brothers and sisters, our church, the South Baton Rouge Church of Christ, what kind of feast will we be part of? What kind of table will this church family set? What kind of party do we want to throw? Jesus is calling us forward into a new kind of world, a new kingdom where all are invited. It's a kingdom of love and grace and mercy and justice and forgiveness and inclusion and joy. It's a kingdom so full of life that, as we saw last week in the story of Lazarus, that even death cannot overcome the life of this kind of kingdom. Isaiah had a vision that such a people would exist, a vision of the day when the kingdom of God would begin to break into our midst. And we believe by faith that it is breaking in even now around us and among us and even in us and through us. And so today may we hear this good news from Isaiah. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. And in that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen. The good news for us, for all who will accept the good news. Today, I want to challenge us to really wrestle with that question. What kind of church do we want to be? What kind of feast do we want to invite our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members who don't know? Maybe who have gotten a taste before of something that wasn't God. So the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And there's a lot of people out there that they've tasted something that somebody taught them and told them was God, but they walked away spitting it out of their mouth because it was rotten and no good and not full of life at all. If that's been your experience, that's not the gospel. That's not the good news. The good news is that Jesus, because of his death on the cross, because he was buried and raised to walk in new life, as we celebrated around this table this morning, that Jesus spreads a new kind of table where all people are welcome and all people are included. And we come, and although we don't deserve it, we find mercy and grace and reconciliation and love and joy. That's good news. And so if you've never come to eat at that table, I want to invite you, I want to ask you this morning, if that sounds appealing to you, to sit at that kind of table, then I want to invite you to come. Our elders will be in the aisles and at the front and the back, and they would love to tell you more about how you can approach God's table of grace and mercy. If you've been around God's table, maybe for a long time, remember that it's never been just a table for you and other people who may now feel like insiders. It's always been a table that has more and more and more room. And so let's take that table into our city and into our community, and let's eat meals of justice and grace on sidewalks with our friends and our neighbors who need to see hope, who need hope for a future. And let's do that together as a church family. Let's stand, let's sing this song, Salvation Belongs to Our God. As we echo these words from Isaiah, let's sing together.